Helen, got a question here from Merrin, who says, why do Portuguese men of war, those are blue bottle jellyfish, beach themselves?
That's a great question. That's fantastic. Well, Portuguese man of war, a type of jellyfish, but actually they're lots of different individual animals that live together. They're not really considered as being a single organism, which is rather intriguing. But they can't actually swim. They don't have a way like other jellyfish of pulsing their tentacles and moving. So they're basically at the mercy of winds and currents and what's going on around them. So they have this lovely blue and sort of tinged and pink pneumatophore, a sort of float full of gas that floats them on the surface, and that catches the wind, and if the wind is blowing in that direction, it can beach them. And the really cunning thing about these guys is that, like humans, Portuguese man-of-war can be left-handed or right-handed. About half them of the population has this pneumatophore that's shaped towards the left and half that's shaped towards the right, which means that they will go in different directions if the wind blows in a certain direction. I think that's just very cool indeed. You can imagine why that might be a good thing, because if it means that half the population will respond to a certain... will get swept up on a beach if the wind's going in a certain direction, and some of them won't. So they won't all necessarily land up on a beach, because that's not great. They usually get trodden on and they will desiccate pretty quickly and dry out if they do end up on a beach. But it's all very much at the mercy of the elements. They're stingy beasts,
though, aren't they?
They are beautiful.
I saw them when I was in Australia. Some of them were doing exactly as you say, being blown up on the beach because they have this sail on the top which pushes them along.
And you got stung
very long
by one,
tentacles.
Didn't you?
In America, I did, and not in Australia because I knew what they were by then, so I avoided them. But they're very beautiful, as you say.
They're wonderful. In fact, I have to say, I've got a little story about the first time I saw a Portuguese man of war. It was also the first time I saw my own very personal seahorse. You know, I'm a bit loopy about seahorses, and I had seen a couple when I was diving, but someone else had pointed them out to me. I was in Belize last year, and a Portuguese man-of-war had been blown into the dock next to a jetty, and I was wandering along and I noticed it and stopped and thought, well, that's cool. Got my camera out, started taking some pictures of this Portuguese man-of-war and its tentacles everywhere. And I'd gone to that pier to look for seahorses because I'd been told there might be some there. So I'd stopped and I'd finished with the Portuguese man-of-war. Then I thought, well, I suppose I should have a look for this seahorse. And I didn't move. I stood in the same place, looked across, and there was my little seahorse clinging to this side of the jetty. And I spent the next half an hour trying to swim around with it and not get stung by the Portuguese man-of-war, which you'd be happy to hear I didn't.
It's interesting because some creatures can survive and not get stung by them. There are some fish that actually live amongst those tentacles, and some that can even take the nematocysts, the stinging cells, and incorporate them into their own body and use the poison, can't they?
There are definitely some odd things going on. And you remember I was talking just now about the clownfish, and they live in anemones, which are a relative of all the corals and jellyfish and things, and also are stinging. And I know that those guys, when they're young, when they're born, rub themselves up around the base of the anemone and they actually cover themselves in a type of slime that then makes them immune and they don't get stung by the tentacles. That's why they can snuggle in and live in the tentacles of the anemones. And that's what the clownfish are doing. So there's
ways
around it.
It's a bit like the cat pillars in the ant nest, making themselves sound or smell the same. Maybe the fish are doing a similar sort of stunt. Thank you, Helen. This is The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith, Dave Ansell and Helen Scales. It's The Naked Scientist science phone-in, so if you have a science question for us, our email address is chris@thenakedscientist.com. In a second, we'll be talking to Dave Jones, who wants to know why, when it snows, appropriately this week, the railway lines on trains that have the power running through one of the rails don't short out.
Keeping you abreast of the world's best science, The Naked Scientists.